Hi, my name is Miles S. Hicks, and I'm a 22-year-old college student attending Virginia Commonwealth University for their last week here in Richmond, Virginia, and originally from the 757, with big hair and even bigger dreams. This is A Mile a Minute. The hyper-collective identity that is blackness sees no lines in which part of life that it does not enter. Black students endure the trials and tribulations placed upon them by the power structures in this breath, college, to create, manifest, and achieve their goals. Black students at Virginia Commonwealth University have made strides to better the environment that we operate in, yet we still face a day-to-day struggle that too often goes unseen and unheard. In this episode, we will be discussing the experience of being black at a PWI, a predominantly white institution. While this experience is one of my own, I cannot be alone in this episode by not including the thoughts and sentiments of other black students here at Virginia Commonwealth University. If you are black, identified, you may have experienced some of the same similar anecdotes, thoughts, or feelings. If you are an ally to the community and the culture, please listen with open ears, open minds, and a willingness to learn and grow. Thank you so much to every student that had a part and a hand in making this episode possible and for sharing your voices on the show. There was so much content that we actually had to break it up into two parts of the series where different students will share their opinion of their experience of being black at a PWI. A few things to keep in mind. The thoughts shared on this episode are of these students and of these students only. Their responses were voluntary and they were sent the questions ahead of time. This is not a community forum, so all these interviews were done individually in that these students have not actually spoken about this interview one-on-one with each other in terms of knowing the questions or preparation. All they knew is that there was an interview, there were some questions I wanted to ask them about their experience about being black at a PWI. And just to be clear, I asked the students to speak candidly and bluntly as possible, so there is a little bit of explicit language used in this episode, so listen at your own risk and viewer discretion is advised. And without further ado, let's get into the episode. Could you first start by saying your name, age, and hometown, your racial ethnic background, your gender identity, major, and minor?
So, my name is Angelica Cradle. I'm 19 years old, and I'm from Loudoun County, Virginia. I'm black, 100% black, and I love it. I'm female identifying, and I use she, her pronouns, and I'm a painting and printmaking major and African American studies minor.
So my name is Brianna Scott. My pronouns are she, her, hers. I am originally from Alabama and lived in Chesapeake, Virginia for well over a decade, I think. I don't know how old I am. I'm an Aquarius and I have a Cancer moon with a Sagittarius rising. So kind of a mess. And my major is broadcast journalism.
Hi, everyone. My name is Larissa. I am a VCU student, and I'm 22 years old. I'm just about to graduate. I am from Fredericksburg or Stafford, Virginia, so it's about an hour away from here. And I am black, African-American background. I identify as a cisgender female, and I am a nursing major.
My name is Luke Porter. I am a 21-year-old student here at VCU, a third year from Virginia Beach, Virginia, majoring in mass communications with a concentration in PR. I am African-American and I'm a male.
Hi, I'm Seth Lyons. I am 20 years old and I'm from Chesterfield, Virginia. I'm African-American. I'm a male and I am studying theater performance.
Okay. Hi, everyone. So nice to be here today. My name is Shanice Hurt. I'm 22 years old. I'm from Hampton, Virginia, and I'm black, African-American. I'm a female. Okay, I'm a business major.
My name is Taya Pollock. I'm 21 years old, and I'm from Fredericksburg, Virginia. I am a black American, and my father is mixed race. I believe that his mom is, like, Native Hawaiian, and so if I were to have any parts not, like, descended from blackness, it would be that. But I was raised by a black household, so that is how I identify. And then I am a interior design major. So I go by she, her pronouns. I identify as a female.
All right, my name is Terry Everett. I'm 22 years old, and I'm from Newport News, Virginia. African-American, my pronouns is him, he, and his. and biology major, chemistry minor.
So my first question was, what is your relationship to your blackness as a college student? And here is everyone's response.
I feel like since coming to college, I've been made the most aware of my blackness, just trying to navigate my classes and the curriculum of my class and just what I want to learn. And I want to learn about blackness and being black and then how that relates to me and how I can better, I don't know, how I can just take what I'm learning and all the opportunities that I have being in this position of privilege to be able to come to college. I just want to take all the opportunities I can to better myself and better what I'm doing for black people and for me, a black woman. So
that's a really loaded question. And it's been something that I've tried to unpack for the past 4 years. And one thing that I have said to myself and a lot of other people, specifically about just being black in general, even just a person of color, just a person in general, we don't come out the womb loving ourselves, right? Like, you have to learn how to love yourself. And so for me, when I tell people that I didn't always love being black, for people who have never dealt with self-internalized racism, they don't know what that is like. They're like, what the fuck, you coon? And I'm just like, no, like, society, like, white society has taught black and brown bodies to not love themselves. And for me, always growing up in predominantly white spaces, I didn't love myself because of my blackness, especially being dark-skinned woman, dark-skinned queer woman. And when I finally came to college, I was just sort of coming into my own, coming into my queer identity, coming into my blackness, embracing my feminine body. And over the past 4 years, it's kind of fluctuated up and down, like, my self-esteem, especially, like, going to a predominantly white institution, because sometimes I walk into a room and I still am the only black person, even though VCU, you know, says we're a diverse and inclusive university. But then you walk into rooms, you're like, fuck, I'm the only person of color. I'm the only queer person, you know. And I think that more now than ever, like, being in my senior year, I really have honed in on owning my blackness and truly being unapologetically black. But it took a really long time to feel that way.
So when I was thinking about this question, I thought about, like, me first coming to VCU, knowing that it was a diverse, like, known as a diverse place. And I still felt a little different and a little out of, like, a little, like, I didn't fit in. Just because I feel like I, as a black student, I'm one of the ones that, like, had parents that went to school and was kind of forced to go to school. And so when I came here, I was trying to find out who I was as a person, aside from, like, my parents wanting me to go to school and, like, who I really identified as and what I thought and what I wanted to act like and be like and who I wanted to influence me and things like that. So I think when it comes to me going to, like, being a college student, it's important to think of who I was before and who I am now and find those people that I really want to influence me and want to be in my life and the things that I'm actually interested in and, you know, without so much influence from, like, the media and, like, the people around me and kind of just choosing who I want to be as a person, like, truly me.
I believe, like, every day I wake up realizing, knowing, understanding that I am a black college student. Here at VCU, we do have a very close-knit black community. I would say most of my friends are black. So it's great to see us all thriving and prospering together. And so as a black student, like, it's evident and it's appreciated that I understand that I am a black student and that I have friends and faculty and others I can count on and hold me up and hold me accountable to what I want to do. So, yes.
It's something that we're born into, mm-hmm. and I'm loving every single minute of it. Like, I love, like, there was a time where I just didn't, like, see race very much. Like, as a child, I was very, like, sheltered. Like, everyone was not nice to me, but they were not nice to me for other reasons other than my race. But going through different experiences, especially going to a predominantly white college, it's made me love myself and love my race even more.
Relationship to my blackness as a college student, I feel like as a college student, being Black, I've always had to go harder than everyone else in the room. So I have to make sure that I do assignments early, or if I need help, I don't like to ask in front of people, you know, just making sure I have that like A game on at all times.
My relationship to Blackness, I think it's just something that I'm really having to navigate, like, and really just define. Like, I know that I am a Black woman, but what does this mean in the field of design? What does this mean as a student? What does this mean as, like, a 20-something? Like, what does this all mean? And I'm kind of just, like, navigating right now. Like, I would describe that relationship right now very much as just, like, discovery, honestly. Just learning how to have my Blackness be something that I'm not only as well learning about, but portraying and allowing to, like, I want to pay my respects to that as well. Like, I want to be, I feel like we kind of have that pressure as well to just be like the model Black. And so that's kind of what I'm like trying to navigate, right? How do I become myself? How am I learning? But also, how am I like living up to this like privilege that I have of being able to come to a college and pursue an education, but also still being a Black woman and knowing how it feels to be in those spaces. I don't know, I feel like that was super vague and like not the best wording, but it's very much a relationship that I'm still navigating.
As a college student, it's something I definitely hold near and dear. It's prevalent in everything I do, essentially. From expectations of what I need to be or who I can see myself as, it's kind of like it's something always attached to me. Being as successful as I can, I know that I'm indebted to go back and reach back to my community just as like a representative of my Blackness.
My next question to the students was, do you believe that this university focuses too heavily on pushing the narrative of diversity and inclusiveness?
So, this is the tea. This university specifically just obviously uses the theme of diversity and inclusion to bring in students and to obviously market itself as a diverse and inclusive institution, when the reality is the student body is diverse in comparison to other PWIs. However, that doesn't, the student body is not reflecting the faculty, and the faculty is extremely white. And on top of VCU not considering not only its students but also its faculty, they aren't actually focused on the inclusion part, and inclusion and diversity are obviously different. So with diversity, you need to do the work to make it an inclusive environment, and that's where VCU is currently lacking.
Sis, the amount of articles that I have written about this, the protests that I've been to, hell yes. And that's why I came to VCU, because when I was looking at colleges in Virginia, I had to stay in Virginia, get that in-state tuition. VCU was the only school that really appealed to me. It was in Richmond. It was in a city. It was a good school for my major. And it was diverse compared to somewhere like George Mason or U of R, you know, UVA, JMU. I wasn't going to get into any of those schools anyways. But VCU, I was like, okay, this is an urban, diverse campus. And when I came here, I would come for campus tours. I came for orientation, RAM camp. And I was like, I see that diversity. We have that diversity, but it's not an actual inclusive environment. And you see this in different pockets and facets on campus, in certain departments and schools. And you really just sort of realize that as diverse as we are, the numbers are there. We're not truly an inclusive environment. And there are a lot of students on campus who don't feel safe. I felt that way. I didn't feel safe like being in my own Black queer body in certain spaces on campus. And sometimes it's not even because anyone's doing anything, it just can be very uncomfortable. It's very like get out, like you just get uncomfortable being in a room full of white people.
I think one of the things that drew me to VCU was the fact that they kind of pride themselves on diversity. Mm-hmm. However, I think you kind of have to practice what you preach. One of the, like, I know I looked at a few different schools, like UVA and, like, a few schools in, like, Pennsylvania and stuff like that. And the thing that drew me to VCU was, one, the nursing program, but also just the emphasis that they put on accepting all types of people from all different backgrounds. And so I love that they do that, and I think it's really important, too. But I also, I feel like even though they say that, you know, we are a diverse campus, you can be yourself here, it's just like, it's like that with the students, but when it comes to influence from the faculty, I don't feel that same way. Mm-hmm. In terms of, like, being, I don't know, being treated a certain way as a Black woman, being, and having, like, the only, I feel like the only spaces I can go to actually freely talk about diversity and how I feel is, like, the OMSA office or, like, my friends who identify the same way I do. And so when it comes to, like, actually speaking freely in, like, on a VCU campus, whether it be to faculty or to, you know, the higher-ups
yeah.
of campus, it's, like, you know, it's not, it's almost like an awkward subject sometimes. And it's almost like, it's, of course, it's, like, it's influence here, but it's not really, like, you kind of, they just have to practice what they preach, I guess, is, like, the bottom line of what I'm trying to say. And, like, I feel like sometimes it doesn't happen. You can say things all you want, but if you don't do it, then it's hard to actually identify with what the campus is trying to do.
I honestly do believe VCU kind of pushes that a little bit too much, the diversity and inclusive narrative. VCU is a very diverse school, but the fact of the matter is that we're not very, I would say we don't intermix too much. So it kind of is counterproductive or deceiving to say that we are such a... well blended school, just because, like, for example, not to take it here, but a lot of the leadership at the school is Black, and you notice that around campus, and it's a great thing, but it also shows that we are diverse, we do represent a lot of different people groups and backgrounds, but we don't necessarily intermix and intermingle. So yeah, we are diverse, but I would not necessarily say that we're inclusive. And I think we should work on that as a school.
Yes, because they're trying to make diversity their brand, which it's fun until, like, it's just a brand when it's something I've dealt with my whole entire life.
Right.
So, like, when you make race, like, that's, how do I explain this? If you make race something that's just like a brand and something that you're focusing to make, it ends up not being what you're trying to, like, it takes away the seriousness of it. Like, I remember the first day I came here and there were people who made the Tunnel of Oppression, and I was like, interesting, but, like, why are we making my oppression, like, a fair for people to come and what, like, and, like, look at and be like, oh my god, that's so hard, they must have got, like, I feel like if we want to make diversity such a big thing, it's just, I think we just need to be equal and embrace everybody, not just make everything, like, our thing is being equal and being diverse and having everyone from every single fold. Like, I think we should focus on loving everyone instead of, like, making that, like, the thing.
Mm-hmm. I do. I feel like it's a lot being said, but not enough being done. So that's my take on that.
Now that I'm on the other side of it 4 years in, yeah. Because, like, when I was a freshman, that was one of the things that was constantly visible as far as things that the university wants to say about themselves. Like, we're diverse, we're inclusive, all the time. And even when you, like, step foot on the campus, I think that there's, like, a plethora of faces that do greet you. But when you start to navigate and you start to see where the power lies and who makes decisions, I think that it becomes pretty obvious that this is not, like, the diversity and inclusion does not infiltrate every level of this university. And I think that kind of starts to backfire now that I'm on the other side, that they promote it so much, because, like, if I come into the university thinking that this is something that you all uphold, and now here I am not seeing that upheld, then it's kind of your own L because you're the one who said it. Like, maybe if I was, like, going somewhere like William & Mary or, like, CNU or something, I don't think anyone would be trying to sell me that this is the most diverse place I've ever been. Because I don't think that realistically anyone even thinks that. But because VCU has painted that and we're seeing now that it's really not, I think it's kind of, like, their own personal girl. Maybe you need to work that out.
I think it pushes the diversity perfectly. However, the inclusiveness still has a way to go. I think, and the reason for that is I don't like to point the finger as just because I feel like some people are just uneducated about it. I feel like sometimes we focus more so on what the university is doing for us as opposed to what we can be doing for the university. So it's always diversity and inclusion, but it's kind of like you don't ever really see everybody at the same table. I've been in crowds of like all my boys from the 7-5, you know, like doing well, and then we get into like administrative positions and everything, and it looks like how I look in a classroom setting where it's like literally either A, I'm the only black person in the room, or B, it's another person, and then when we find each other, regardless of the age, we're just happy to see each other because you don't see a lot of us. Like, we're not really included in every decision that the university makes, and I feel like that affects how the inclusion part of the university is reflected.
So the next question that I asked the students were, have you come across issues, instances, or occurrences in regards to your blackness with this university? This could have been interactions with professors, other students, on the job, student housing, apartments, within apartment spaces, with friends, anything that the students chose to share. And so for this, we had Angelica, Brianna, Larissa, Seth, and Terry for responses.
The short answer is yes. I've just way more than is acceptable. It's unacceptable the number of times I feel I've been offended in class, discriminated against, or just the ways I'm seeing oppression like manifest in my day-to-day life as a college student. And I've had to pull aside this semester, four out of five of my professors, and basically confront them that about some racist shit that they did in class or whatever they had said to me. And that's not what I signed up for. That's not what I should have to do. This is just unacceptable. You know what I mean? Like, this is not, this should not even be a problem in which I have to address. Like, this is just unbelievable that I'm pulling aside grown adults that are trying to teach me, and I have to pull them aside and teach them about racism and about discrimination and how what they just said or did was racist. And then of course they want to get defensive, and it's just a back and forth, and then my words are wasted, and I just put in all this emotional labor and continue to be in their class, mind you, so the short answer is yes.
You guys can't see my face, but I'm just like, yes. And it's a lot of the time just microaggressions. So sometimes I don't even realize what has happened until I'm thinking about it later, or I'm talking about it with my friends, and I'm like, wait, what this person said or what this professor said to me was wrong. And a lot of the times it did have to do with me being black or had to do with my mental health. When I was living in housing, my mental health was a huge issue with housing, and I felt very policed. I never felt comfortable going to my RA or talking to anybody. I've never felt comfortable talking to anyone at VCU about mental health because it's just policed to a very, like, negative degree here, especially because, you know, talking about like counseling and counseling services, people would tell me go to counseling services, but it's like they don't really have any, like, people of color on their staff or like queer people for me, because I don't ever want to have a therapist who's like not a person of color, like preferably a woman of color. So I would have experiences with that. And then I feel like this semester has been the hardest semester for me because I am opinions editor, And that is kind of where I've faced the most problems, because I'm being vulnerable in my writing. I'm talking about a lot of controversial issues, and I'm critiquing a lot of the times not only VCU, but the CT and the SMC and the way that we handle diversity and inclusion. And I feel like a lot of people get uncomfortable talking about those topics. And I've always said that people feel uncomfortable because you've never had to face that. So for me, this semester has been very overwhelming because I've dealt with microaggressions in the workplace. I've dealt with microaggressions at the SMC. I couldn't step foot in the SMC for like about 2 weeks because I just felt so unaccepted here. And that's fluctuated throughout the years because I've been at WVCW, I've been at Inc. Magazine, I've been at CT, and the CT is kind of what I've stuck with the longest because I have a platform here. But it's so emotionally exhausting doing that labor, like not just writing about these issues, but then doing the work and trying to work with people to be like, let's think about our work environment and let's, you know, really think about the way that we're treating marginalized bodies in this building. Because you walk into the SMC half the time and it's white people. I mean, the professional staff is only made up of white people at the SMC. And even, you know, I'm in the CT newsroom and it's diverse, sure, but it's not reflective of the student body. And that's something that really sucks. Because again, if we go back to diversity and inclusion, it's diverse, but it's not inclusive.
Okay, so... Yes, I have. Definitely have. And sometimes I have to think, I'm like, is it because I'm black or is it just a coincidence? And I always think about that. And I feel like it's always in the back of my mind because I'm like, oh, I didn't get this job. And everyone that works here, for example, I applied to a job where I had been basically working there because I had clinical there. I'm not going to say like the specific unit because it's very specific, but and the entire staff was white. And now at VCU, I've never seen a unit where the entire staff was white. Never, like not once. I've been to most units in the hospital. And so I applied. I loved it there. I really wanted to work there, but I also felt a little left out because of the racial, you know, barrier that was very evident there. I didn't end up getting the job, and I wasn't too hurt about it because I was like, there are other things out there. There are other places I would love to work. But I also realized later that a woman who is white got the same job, got the job that I basically wanted, and she hadn't been practicing in the unit. She hadn't been there. She hadn't been talking to the management like I had. So at that point, I was like, is it because I'm black? Mm-hmm. I have to question it, and I feel like every day when I go through life, I have to question. I'm like, is this person looking at me because I have my fro out? Or I'm like, you know, like what is it that's drawing attention? Or what is it that makes people treat me the way I'm treated? So, yeah. And then just one other example was when I first applied to nursing school, my advisor basically told me, she was like, oh, no, you shouldn't apply. You're probably not going to get in. No one really gets in their first year, like, when they apply. And I was, in the back of my mind, I was like, well, why? Like, why shouldn't I go for something that I really want? And why, like, why not? And so I talked to my mom about it, and she was like, well, you know, do it because it's possible. If you don't apply, there's no way you won't get in. But just to be, like, put down like that and saying, oh, you know, you probably shouldn't apply because you're probably not going to get in. I'm like, well, what is the reason that you think I'm not going to get in? Because I really, you know, I had what it took to do what I needed to do the program. But I'm like, then I go back to, is it because I'm black? Is it because of, you know? And it's hard not to assume that. It's hard. And I'm like, I don't want to put it on that. But I'm like, what else is there? Right. So it's hurtful. It really is. And I'm like, I could have been easily deterred from something I really wanted.
Yeah, I guess I have. I guess it's just because, especially being an actor, race plays a big role in things. It plays a big role in like what you're cast as. And sometimes your talent can be not recognized because you're casted as certain things, because of who you are, because of your race. Like I was in a show like recently, where I felt like I was casted as someone's understudy, which is someone that you're like supposed to be under, basically because of my race. And I didn't particularly feel like I was like this character. They just thought, oh, he's another black person. Let's just put him under this other black person. But
they need to understand that we're not just Black people. We have personalities and we have we're a certain person. So like if I can't play a person that I'm not, and this character is not me, he's this buff Black dude. And like when people look at me, they're like, who is this twink playing this buff Black dude, like wrestling everyone? I'm like, what? So I feel like it's been a lot in the art form where like race has played a big part. I remember I auditioned for a play and I was the only Black person who got a callback. And they looked at me and straight up said, Seth, there are going to be other reasons why you don't get this role. And I, at that moment, I was a child, so I didn't know. I was like, oh, my God, it's just because, like, they haven't too many people and something. But then I realized it's because I'm Black and they want the rest of the family to be white. So I'm not going to be that character because of my race.
I think I come across it a lot. Like, this is literally every time I meet a new person that my primarily not a person of color, but also like I have a lot of I guess ethnic friends, and so whenever I meet them, it's kind of like they'll look and see like which type of Black I am. Like, am I like a nigga type Black, or like am I like quote unquote upkept Black person? But I can tell the way how people talk to me, and they're trying to, it's like they're still asking questions to like see how I respond to certain things. I remember one time me and Terrence, me and my brother Terrence, we went to this SI session, and so we were like literally the only two Black kids out of the whole class and 125 students. And so the classes are capped off at 30 people for like the study sessions, and so we get there literally like an hour before, because we like, this is our first class, we want to see what the study sessions are like so we can get ahead before getting behind. And we sat outside and we wrote our names on this sheet because nobody else had started the sign-in sheet. And so as other people started coming, they started filling out the sheet too. And then eventually it was so many people outside the classroom, like you already knew that was way over 30. So we was like, ooh, thank God that we actually made the sheet. And so one of the girls, she was a precept, she was a TA for the class, but she did the SI sessions. And so she comes in and people just start pouring into the classroom. So we're like, yo, like we already had the sign-in sheet. And the other people was like, yeah, that's the one that I signed. And so then like me and Terrence kind of like, we're the last two people because we were comfortable that we signed the sheet. And she like closes the door and like she looks at us and we're like, we already like, we're the two top names at the sign-in sheet. Like, some people are going to have to be replaced. And she was like, I'm sorry, that's not the original sign-in sheet. But she didn't bring the sign-in sheet until she came, which is she came right at 11 o'clock. And so just having that experience, it was like everybody in the classroom, like nobody else was Black in the classroom. I don't know if that's what it was specifically, but that's how I kind of took it, because it was more so, like, it was no other reason why we shouldn't have been able to get inside the classroom, especially since we initiated the sign-in sheet. And I mean, that really fueled a lot of my success in biology, because I knew that, I mean, my mom would always tell me like, you're always gonna have to work twice as harder. But having that experience as like one of my first experiences as a freshman, it really exposed me to like how people can be regardless of like how smart you are, how you present yourself, how you carry yourself, like the diction that you use, it's always gonna be something that sets you aside that makes you have to work harder in certain instances.
I then wanted to focus on a little bit of a more positive approach. So we asked, what has been the greatest example of Black excellence that you've seen either in person, in the media, on television, anywhere really, as a Black student attending higher education? And here was everyone's response.
Well, that's a hard question. When I was reading over the questions, I was like, oh, that's gonna trip me up, because there honestly is so many amongst all of the discrimination. That's where, just with the oppression hand in hand, like, comes that excellence from Black people just being able to every day combat that oppression and just constantly are resisting these ways that that discrimination comes up in their day to day. So I feel like just waking up, going outside as a Black person and as a Black student, Black woman, a Black man, just being able to say, just to complete another day as a Black person, because every day is not easy. Every single day, something, at least in my experience, especially if you the more you experience it, I feel like the more hyper aware you are in the coming, you know, in your future, and then it jumps out even more. And so it does start to jump out every single day. And so being able to, you know, finish your days is just excellent as a Black person, and just continue to do what you need to do for you, and then also attempting to do whatever it is for your community, for the Black community, is also excellent, you know?
Yeah, there's been so many things. The one thing that just instantly pops into my mind is when I actually saw Obama, what was it? I think last spring, spring semester of my junior year. And yeah, Obama came to the convention center, and I mean, just to see him in the flesh, I wasn't that close, but to be in the same room as him, to breathe the same air, it was just like so surreal, because I never thought that I would be in the same room as him, because it's like, it's been years since he's been our president, so it's like, it's not like, you know, he's on his campaign tour and it's so easy to like meet him. Like, no, he's like really out here doing real ass shit. So it was nice to like see him come to Richmond and speak to a room full of people, and it felt like that was still my president, because the entire time that he was president, I feel like so many Black people felt hopeful, and now things just feel so dreary. But it was great to see that Black excellence in person. Another thing that sticks out to me is when Janelle Monáe came out as pansexual, because I'm pansexual. And so I hate when people erase that, you know what I mean? Or try to fit you into a box. Like, bisexuality and pansexuality gets conflated a lot, but there are nuances, and that's like important to people. So for her to come out and be like, I'm pansexual, I'm a Black pansexual woman with her girlfriend, cute Tessa Thompson, I'm like, oh my God, like, this is just like owning like her queerness, owning her Blackness. Like, that to me is just like on an entire different level, and I think that was very revolutionary in me finally like being comfortable to say to people, hey, I'm pansexual, instead of dancing around the topic, because there's really not a lot of queer Black women in media that I've seen that I really look up to. But yeah, those two things are just what really like sticks out into my mind. There's so many other things, but those are the two that really just bring me to like just a lot of emotions.
I am like very into like the Black artists and the Black media, and like Beyonce is amazing, don't get me wrong, but I think the people that I see that really are like the identity of Black excellence are the people that are like around me, like my brothers and sisters that work so hard every day, pay for their school, have no complaints, work hard, get their money, like are focused, are driven, and just do what they need to do every day and really don't get acknowledgement for it. Like, because there are so many stars and celebrities that do so many things. They're advocates. They're amazing, and they do great things in the community, but they get all this attention for it, and it's great. But it's like when people do the same thing or work so hard and don't get that acknowledgement that others do, it's like those are the people that I'm like, wow, you know, you're doing this just purely out of your heart, or you're doing this because you think it's, you know, it's great. So it's those are the people that I think are really Black excellence, just the people that are around me and drive me to keep doing what I'm doing, and we, you know, we can feed off each other's good energy.
Just recently, you know, I gotta shout out my girl Beyonce. She be knocking it, like knocking them dead. Like I really appreciate the amount of time and effort and energy she puts into what she does. It just goes to show how Black is beautiful, how Black is strong, how Black is everything right now. And I think we should hold on to that and keep pushing with that. Also, with Something in the Water, that was another great show of Black power, Black prosperity. Just everybody there just having a great time, turning up. It was good energy, good vibes. So I think right now, those are just two examples I can think of off the top of my head where Black has been just amazing. And I think we should keep pushing on that, building on that, and as a community, look to that as an example of what we can do to make things better in our communities.
Beyonce, I'm going to just say it. Like, I just saw her documentary like a few days ago. It was literally, it made me want to freaking just like jump and do something. Like, watching Beyonce continuously like just like slay it, like, is so it's so empowering as a Black person to watch and seeing other beautiful Black people perform on that stage and make something beautiful together. It's just, it inspires me to like want to create and want to act and want to perform so that I can get to that level where I can create something and like owning it. Like, she owned that stage. And so like, yeah, she's my big, like, been my biggest inspiration the whole entire week. I've been listening to her. I've been twerking to her. It's been my life this whole entire time.
Well, I see it every day at VCU. I feel like the Black community, they're great. They're awesome. I see them always doing good stuff. Everyone's really just, everyone, I just can't wait to see what everyone's going to become because I just get so excited seeing everyone do great things. Somebody I really look up to is Keisha Kayor. That's my girl. Like, I post her on Instagram like every day because she's a boss. Like, she's a boss. She's good at flipping money. She's just like, she does her own thing. She minds her business. She's not in drama. Like, somebody that I would like to be like.
I think it would be the voices of action. Like, starting from VCU Speak, Black VCU Speaks, all the way until now. I don't want to call her name wrong. I think it's Angelica Creedle. I think right now she has a really powerful presence in her space of painting and printmaking and being a Black queer artist and just like making strides. Like, I think from like people like Sharice and Atala and like Keontae when they were out here, like things like that, I would say are Black excellence because they're very much in a space where they don't have to be doing that. Like, they could really just be like, girl, I'm gonna write my paper and y'all can be mad. What are my priorities? What do I believe in? What are my values? And sometimes the most that you can do is support. And so I would like to like commend those support systems around these people, definitely, like the people who do show up in number, if anything, just to show face and to show support or to just send positive energy. But those, the excellence, I definitely would say would lie in those students making the change.
I think the best example specifically would be, I don't think I have like one individual one. I think it's kind of like every time we kind of pair up with people of like other Black students that attempt to tell the Black narrative, like such as the podcast right now, it's like it's always the best example because not only does it continue to narrate our story, like our actual story, it motivates me to do more for my community and like as far as myself as well. And so like just running into different type of people that have the drive to be inclusive and be representatives, not just to Black people, but to expose it to the world, that's always like the definition of Black excellence. Like, we had a video or whatever, but it was like that was nothing more than what everybody else is doing that I meet at the university that tries to do the same thing. Like, it's always inspirational to me to see other people try to connect and then elevate with each other.
And so the last question that everyone's going to answer would be, if you could go back in time, would you still attend a PWI, a predominantly white institution, again? And if so, please explain or defend your reasoning why.
Okay, well, I feel like when I was like deciding what school I wanted to go to, I was looking for the best art program. What I needed to do for my major, and VCU advertised itself as that, and that is what I kept seeing, and I was like, okay, great. And I, you know, obviously, so with that, and if I still had the same amount of knowledge, I probably would have still picked VCU just specifically because they had, I feel played. That's how they got me here, and I probably would have still came. I want my money back. Like, I just feel bamboozled, hoodwinked, all that. But, and just on a more, you know, existential, whatever level, I just feel like I'm supposed to be here because of what's happening, and this is how I got into more community organizing and like activism work, because VCU has been had these problems for years and years and years and years and years, and I don't know, and you know, I'm sure people were doing the work then, but the work also needs to be done now. So I'm here, I'm able to do it, so I'm going to do it, and now this is, there's basically a need for me here, and there's a need for Black people here. So I don't. And you know, I've thought about up and leaving, hitting a quick, turning a quick transfer form. But then it feels like this a moral obligation to continue this fight for, so more Black people can peacefully come into this space, because I'm not going to fold and just dip and go, and you know, go somewhere where I can probably exist more peacefully as a Black woman, even though that is ideal. But yeah, it's up to, you know, I feel like it's up to me and it's up to us Black people with this privilege, and who are willing to, you know, put in the effort and put into work and, you know, fight the little fight to do it for other Black people coming behind us.
Oh, that's, you know, sometimes I really do think if I missed out on the Black experience by not going to a HBCU. But I also think, I don't know, I definitely think it would have been a good experience for me to go to a HBCU because I had never grown up in predominantly Black areas. But I think it also could have been very much a culture shock, because when you are that Black person that's always been called an Oreo, you know, people are like, oh, you crap baby Oreos. But it's like, oh my God, the self-internalized racism is so real. And like, so I feel like if I could go back in time knowing what I know now, I think I would go to an HBCU. But I think if I didn't know what I know now and I was a freshman again applying, like, or a senior in high school applying for colleges, I think that I would still go to a PWI. And the cold, harsh truth about that is because a lot of HBCUs don't get funding or don't have good programs for journalism, which is, I would still be passionate about that. And that would be my reasoning, which is kind of shitty because it's kind of like, yeah, you should go to a college that's good for your degree, but also your mental health is really important. And I think that Black people's mental health at a PWI is drastically different than Black people's mental health at a HBCU. It's not to say that Black people at HBCU are overall happier, but they're not having to necessarily deal with racism from white people because there's not as many white people at an HBCU, which, why the fuck are there white people at HBCUs anyways? Like, go to U of R.
I would definitely still attend a PWI. I would definitely still attend VCU. VCU, I think, is a great school, and there's nothing wrong with it. I have seen a lot of HBCUs. I've been to a lot of HBCUs, especially as a new initiate to my sorority. I got to, like, visit my sorors at different schools and go to all the step shows and, like, the bands, and it's amazing. It really is, and it gives me so much pride to see Black people just being, having fun and being with each other. And I would have loved that experience. And if I go back to school, you know, it's possible that I might, you know, attend a HBCU. But I think attending a PWI really did increase, like, my backbone and just kind of give me the courage to be different, look different, act different, know that I'm different, and still succeed. And, like, I think it's important just to be who you are. And when I step into a room of all people who all look complete, they all look like each other, but I don't look like them, if you know what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I try to put on this persona of, like, oh, I have to act like that, or I have to, like, my hair needs to be a little smaller, you know, like, yeah, things like that. Or, like, I feel like I have slowly grown out of trying to change for people. And I think just getting to know myself and getting to know what I really like, I love being that different person. Like, I love standing out and saying what I have to say and, you know, being proud of who I am. So I definitely would still attend VCU.
I thought about this question a lot, like, when I was reading it earlier. I guess I probably, oh my God, I don't know. I honestly don't know, because I see pros and cons in both.
Right.
being at a PWI as a Black student, there's a different level of, I feel like there's a stronger sense of community amongst the Black people. If you're at a HBCU, for example, yes, you are all family. Yes, you are all friends. Yes, you all have common things alike. You have similarities, but I think at a PWI, it forces you kind of to find your group and to push each other and to motivate each other to know that we have to make it. We have to set a great example, to be a light where people may not have come across other Black people in their life. And so we're that example Black person for them to be like, oh, okay, so I see what Black culture is about. I see what Blackness is about. And for them to support it. Now, being at HBCU, I haven't, of course, I'm at VCU, so I don't go to one. But I think it would be fun. Like, it would be lit. I think it'd be lit. I've heard just, my parents both went to HBCUs. So from their experience, they've told me that it's like a one big family. You have professors who look out for you, who care for you. They have that here at VCU as well, but it's just a different type of community. And so I don't know if I would choose one over the other. I think a lot of other factors would have to play into it. But yeah, I think there's great things about both. And I think we should acknowledge that and appreciate what both have to offer.
I feel like being at a PWI has given me so many opportunities that sadly, just the way the world works, that I wouldn't have gotten at an HBCU. But I would love to go to an HBCU. I've always wanted to go to an HBCU. But sadly for my, profession, I had to go with what would be the best, that would be best in that field. But I look at Norfolk State so many times and their theater program is killing it. I was like, maybe I should have went there. But I felt like I knew that if I didn't come here, then I wouldn't have gotten to be in a show that's directed by a Broadway director. And I wouldn't have gotten to do the opportunities that I've had. So sadly, I would like to go, but I also need to go where I'm given what I need.
I hate to say it, but no, I wouldn't. I would go to an HBCU because I just feel like we're more welcome there, more uplifted, more things, they understand more things. Like, I just feel like, I don't know. And everyone pops out. I want to dress up. It's a fashion show. Like, I like stuff like that. But yeah.
Yes, because I'm an art student. And I, to be completely honest with you, I came to college because I thought it was natural and that I had to, and it was just like this thing that was expected for me. But I would still choose a PWI because my education, like my degree program, is still important to me to like dictate the school that I choose. And so as a design student, if I'm looking at HBCUs, where exactly am I looking? Like, they don't really have the presence within the design field that I currently need in this society. If we're going to be taught that you need school and you need to have a great education and it needs to be blah, 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 blah for you to get a job and for you to have a presence in the workforce, I don't know that it's honestly realistic for me to consider going to an HBCU because, like, as far as interior design programs go, as far as design programs in general go, I don't think that they are what they should be. Mm-hmm. And so I would still choose to go to a PWI from that perspective. Not even just, like, PWI in general, but, like, I believe that my choices are limited to PWIs because of that. But, like, let's say I'm coming in undeclared. I don't know that I would choose a PWI just off the question of like PWI versus HBCU,
right?
Because it's not that simple. Like, it's like, that's why I hate the Twitter debates, because it's like, this is not, it's not something to debate. Like, it's about where you want to get your education and exist for 4 years. So it's not, I don't know that that's even something that I can just answer straight off the bat, because there are things that I appreciate about HBCUs and how they uplift and uphold things and still try to cultivate within these cultures in ways that you maybe aren't going to see at a PWI. But at the same time, if I have a certain standard and certain environment for the kind of education I want and how I want to live, like, I live in student housing right now.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I don't live in the Ritz-Carlton by any means, but what I have right now is leaps and bounds what somebody would have down the street at Virginia Union. Mm. or at Virginia State, or at Norfolk State, or at Hampton. And that these schools, not all of them, but like, let's just say Hampton in particular, it would cost me a lot more money to attend there. And I wouldn't really be having the same environment. So like the same environment as far as like things that are accessible to me.
Right.
And like my resources and like my living conditions, honestly. So like, I don't know, it's just not that cut and dry, but there's just so many more things to consider than the culture and how I feel as a Black person as well. And that's sad because, like, I wish that I could go to a place and feel camaraderie and feel, like, just genuine love of culture and self all the time. But I can't spend umpteen thousand dollars a semester just based off that. And, like, I don't know. There's just so many aspects that come into that decision. Like,
right.
It's, I don't know. I don't know, I guess, if I would still choose regardless of my, like, my education, like, my career field.
I would. And the reason is because specifically the HBCU versus the PWI argument. Like, I have, like, friends who've attended HBCUs, and they make me feel less than or, like, saying that I'm not getting the full cultural experience because I went to a PWI, which I feel like to an extent because, like, I would want to go to a place where I'm getting that moral support. However, somebody has to be in those spaces to represent us, or, like, somebody has to be in those spaces to attempt to make that bridge to communication. And so, like, if I had to go back, I would do it all over again. I mean, I would be more, I guess, intentional with, like, my advocacy, of course. But at the same time, it's like, dang, I'm trying to study and go to school, too. So, like, I'm trying to do this whole advocacy thing and then, like, study. But, like, white kids only just got to study. And just having that extra time and commitment can be done elsewhere. But me being at a PWI, I feel like I successfully left my mark. Not even if it was like something like making viral videos or whatever like that, but just knowing that my relationships that I've built with people have changed preconceived notions that they may have had of people of color before coming to the university. And I feel like that's what we really need to be focused on, is like just changing that narrative that already pre-exists in their conscience. So.
And that's the show. Thank you so much for listening. A Mile a Minute is produced through WVCW. Part 2 of this episode will be available on Spotify and Apple Podcasts coming soon. Special shout out to all the students featured on this episode: Angelica, Brianna, Larissa, Luke, Seth, Shanice, Taya, and Terry. Please subscribe on Apple Podcasts and leave me a review or rating, and follow on Spotify. My theme music is Spirit by Eritus. Feel free and welcome to leave a comment or question via social media at Miles6. That's at MileshickS on all social media. The DMs are open for your thoughts, sentiments, rants, and raves. And until next time, bye.